a simple practice, but it's not easy. It takes time to hone that skill, but if you do, it makes all the difference in the world. Your message is so much stronger. People remember you, what you said.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Elsevina Rietveld. Here's three facts I think you should know about Elsevina. One, she calls herself a former deer in the headlights when it comes to public speaking and speaking on camera because she just froze up in front of the audience and the lens. Two, she's from the Netherlands, and as well as Dutch, she's also fluent in English and German and sufficient in the Swiss German dialect, which is different from regular German. Her big dream is someday to live in the Swiss mountains, where she worked as a student for a few summers. And her third fact about Elsevina is that she is an author, a new author, and she has recently published her first book in English. It's called Get Comfortable on Camera. Elsevina, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thank you for having me here, George. I'm really pleased to be talking with you today.
Delighted to be talking to you and reaching all the way out to the Netherlands from Canada. Get Comfortable on Camera. Now that's, and I find it reassuring to know that it's just not people here in Canada or North America that have trouble speaking on camera, that there are people in other parts of the world who also have this difficulty, anxiety, fear of speaking on camera. Why do you think it is that we are so afraid of talking on camera?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think there are a few elements to it. And for some people, it can vary a little bit what it lies behind. You know, the psychology behind the fears could vary for different people. But I think a big element is sort of the feeling of permanence, like it is recorded and then people can always watch it. It's sort of like it's set in stone. Once it is recorded, you cannot change it anymore. So that feeling, plus for me, what was the case when I started out making videos, and like you said, I was just like a deer in the headlights. And the very first time I had set up a tripod, put on the camera, and then I walked out of the room. I was too scared to even press record. And at that point, I had the camera lens pointing at me, and I had a feeling that 10,000 people would be watching me. And I know it's irrational because, you know, it's not. And maybe you create your first video and you put it out on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and maybe five people see it. So rationally, you know it. And I was thinking starting with creating an online course so that you only people who buy it would see it, basically. But still, this it felt as if at least 10,000 people would be watching. And that felt so scary. So I think that is... yeah, that is something that could play a role. And maybe because we see a lot of other people as well, and some are really, yeah, comfortable on camera and okay, which can enhance the feeling like they can do that, but I can't. You know, it's okay for all the actors, and those are really experienced, but it's really not something I can do.
Now, you've got past that first freeze up that you had. And what did you do that helped you get from the deer in the headlights to the star just seeking to talk to 10,000 people?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, George. And I knew I needed help. So, of course, you can do it by yourself. And some people say, just do it. Do it 100 times. Do it 1,000 times. And if you, when you have done 1,000 videos, you won't be scared anymore. Well, some people still are. But I wanted some help and support, like with sports. You know, you need to train yourself and you need to do it a lot. But it helps when you get some coaching and support and training on how to do this better. So I was looking online and I came across this training called Feminine Presence, which really helped you get out of overthinking, be centered, calm, and confident when speaking to other people. And then I became a licensed trainer in the method and integrated it with my background as speech therapist and kinesiologist, and actually started working with men more than women. So the feminine element was, for me, less relevant. So it's like a very broad training, and I picked out the elements that were relevant for public speaking and speaking on camera, and then integrated it into my own work, so to say. So I don't know, if have you ever heard of something like this, George, of presence per se?
Well, I'm certainly familiar with the concept of presence, but what I find curious about the concept of presence is I don't know how to describe it to someone.
Yeah. And that is the exact reason that I now call myself a confidence trainer and not a presence trainer, how I started out. Because people don't know what presence is. You know, it feels so intangible. So I talk about, I'm a confidence trainer. I help increase your natural charisma, help you feel calm and confident. Those are things people can have an image with. Like, I always say everybody has charisma. I read an article where they said you either have it or you don't. And it really irked me when I read that, because everybody has it. But for some people, it comes out more easily. Some people can play an instrument more easily or ride horses. And other people need to work a bit more at it and train a bit more. But they too can bring out skills. And I think everyone has their charisma inside. You just must really not look at other people. And part of this presence thing is really being present. So what we see a lot is we are a lot in our heads, sort of a head bubble, and we are overthinking. So not only are we doing 3 things at once, like I'm guilty of this. I have many tabs open on my computer, but it's like that in our brain. So I'm here recording this video with you and I'm really fully present. I've put my phone on mute. My email is out. I said to my family, I am away until I step out of the room. Of course, someone could forget and step in, but basically I'm not thinking about anything and everything that's going on outside of here. I'm fully present. And that is one key element of the presence thing, is to be fully you. So you are yourself, you are in the moment, and you really connect with the person that you're speaking to. I hope that makes sense, George. And yeah, it really helps with your intended message actually as well. Because what I've seen, and I've worked a lot with experienced speakers, such as lawyers and debaters and even speaker trainers who came to my training here in the Netherlands, which I do online as well, but I've done this more in person. And you see them from speaking on routine to getting this presence element, to be really there, be a little bit vulnerable and open, but that is so powerful. And when you do that, your message lands with your audience and they remember what you say. And I have people who I trained for one day and I speak to them like 5-6 years later. I see on LinkedIn they have a new job, so I send them a message and they reply, I still use your techniques on a daily basis, 6 years later. And one even said like, oh, you know, having this calm and confident and these tools help me get this next job. So it's not just about speaking. And I think it's like that with your intended message. I'd say, I don't know how you feel about that, if you're really good at it, it's more than just the speaking that you do. What do you think?
Well, I'm wondering that, how do you get someone from from, let's say, when these folks came to you first, and they are nervous just about public speaking, period. Never mind the camera. Don't even bring the camera in. So what would be the first two or three steps that you would ask them to take so that they could move from being the deer in the headlight to show a little bit more presence, to let a little bit more of their charisma come out? Where do they start? What are those first few steps?
Yeah, so I work with practical exercises for body, mind, and energy. And there are two that are fundamental that I always do in every training. And the way I usually do it is I let people speak for a minute first, just like tell us something you'd like to tell us about your work, your hobby, your passion, just 1 minute. And then we do the first practice. And then we implement that practice into the second time we're speaking. And then we do the second practice, and then we implement that. And the shifts that you see are huge. It's always so special to do. And finally, end of the month, I have another in-person scheduled because we're just opening up here again. You know, everything that we did in person was canceled so far. And I will come to this in a minute, George. I will tell a little bit about what we do. The beauty is what you see is even people who, like I said, are experienced speakers and people who feel like they feel so self-conscious standing in front of the audience and speaking something, for both of them, having this presence element really raises the impact that they have when they speak. So because I let them go, like with 6 people, 7 people. I like to work with small groups so everyone can do a lot of talking. Let's say there's 6 people. So then you've heard 6 stories. And always after the first exercise, I say, I've already forgotten what you said the first time. And it's only been half an hour ago. So even though it can be a smooth training, when you speak automatism, or like I said, you're in your head, you're speaking, and in your head, you're, did I do the groceries? I need this. I need that. There are many things going on. Did I send this email? I should call my mom when I'm done here. Whatever goes on, right? It takes us out of this present moment. So the first exercise that I do is really help you get out of your head and into, well, it's a spot in your belly, and it's used with yoga practices, with fighting sports. It is called Hara or Ki or Dantian. It has many names. I call it the Hara point or the center point. It's basically 3 inch or 7 centimeters below your navel and inside your body. So when you, and it sounds silly, but I've done this for 8 years now. And like I said, people come back after years saying they still do this and it helps. And I had a colleague, she did my training and she said, I feel you have gold in your hands here. This is so good. And she learned a lot from it, even though she is an actress and speaker. And it's not easy, but it's simple. You shift your focus on this point. So you think about this point 7 centimeters below your navel and then inside in the middle of your body. And you can find a way how you can focus there. So you can focus on your breathing. You can say, like, I picture something there on that spot, like a flower or a gemstone or a fire, flame, whatever works for you. For visual people, that can help. And for people who are more kinesthetic, they like to put their hands on their belly, or one in front and one on the lower back, and think in between my hands, that's where that spot is. And all you do is keep your attention on that point when you speak. And it is, I always do, we first do it in the practice. So first we start with pressing. So I say, like, press against the shoulder. So we go to practice, we do the breathing, and we go to the center point. Then we work in pairs usually. And I say, when I work online with people, I say, when we're done, find someone close to you in your house, partner or relative, friend, who can help you with this sometimes. So take your time to focus your attention on the Hara point. And when you're there, you say, and then gently push against the shoulder. And you can feel how this, you don't press your own, like you press someone else against the shoulder. And then you go back into your head. Very easy. Your mind monkeys at work. You worry about something like, did I send this email? Are the lights of my car off? Just worry a little bit. And your attention is back up here, right? And then you do again the pressing. And you will see already physically, you are so much stronger and less quickly off balance when you do this. So when you feel uncomfortable speaking, it already helps you to get out of your head and stop worrying. Why is that person looking funny? Did I forget to say something? Where is this person? It doesn't matter. Just focus on your audience. You know, you want to something to share with them, your intended message that you're bringing on the stage. That is why you are there. And then just focus your attention. And this takes time and practice. Like I said, it's like a sport. So I've been doing it 8 years, pretty much daily. So I can get there pretty quickly. And when you press against the shoulder, you feel like it's like a rock. And when I shift my, and all I do is go back and worry about something. And then I'm all over the place. It's a huge difference that you can feel. It's really funny to try out. And it could be that you move a little bit, but you will feel the difference in how solid movement and like total pushover, just blow and they're like going, you know, that's the difference between the two. So to just focus on that point, and at the beginning, you know, and then you stand in front of the audience. Oh, why is that person looking there? Or I forgot my presenter or what have you. And you're up here and it's really hard to get back down there. So like I said, it's a simple practice, but it's not easy. It takes time to hone that skill. But if you do, it makes all the difference in the world. Your message is so much stronger. People remember you, what you said. What comes out is the important part. So you're not rambling as much. Yeah, it's basically almost day and night difference. So that is the first thing. And that is part of presence. Is that clearing it up a little bit, George, what presence is and can do? Is that more clear now?
Well, it sounds like a meditative exercise. And I suppose the outcome is that a person, by doing that's simple but not easy exercise, I'm guessing it's calming. More than anything else, it's probably simply calming, clearing their mind of the distractions, which is a big obstacle to overcome. Because you're right, when we're speaking, for sure, but any time of the day where we've got all these distractions in our head. So when we get in front of an audience, whether there's a camera or not, we're thinking of, oh, okay, how come that guy's looking at me funny? Did I forget, you know? And so we've got these extra little voices in our head. So anything that can help us help our self-talk so that we can be calmer and clear, it sounds like it's worth exploring. So that's new to me. I haven't heard that before. So thank you for that gem.
Yeah. And it's, I've worked with a lot of people who either do yoga or some sort of fighting sport, and they know this point so well. So for them, it's a little bit easier. They have like training, they know this point, but they leave it on the mat. The minute they step off that mat, they've lost it, you know, they're back into their head, into the overthinking and doing that. And you're right, I do have a meditation as well that you can use this point very well in meditation. But I also find it's even more than that. Sometimes people worry, like, what if I forget? But actually, you sort of connect with your core. So every chatter around it sort of disappears and the center of your message really comes forth. And there's this saying, like, you have this underbelly feeling, like this gut feeling, intuition. So I also find this, doing this practice brings me closer to my intuition. Sometimes I want to say something, or you're in a meeting and you want to speak up. And I heard so many people who were afraid, you know, they have this meeting and they have an idea, but they don't dare to speak up. And with this, because they're overthinking it, what if they think it's stupid? What if they laugh? What if it won't work? And from here, they just say, hey, I might have an idea. How about this or this? And so many people who didn't dare to speak up, it wasn't even a presentation. It was just a meeting at work, a team meeting. And so many people, or they say something and nobody hears it. And then the person next to them says the same thing. And everybody says, oh, that's a great idea. We should do it. And you're like, I just said that, but nobody picked up on it. And that's the same with this. When you put it out from your Hara point, it is really a much stronger message.
And I certainly can identify with that from the martial arts, because I did study karate for a few years. And we called it the key, your key, you know.
Yeah, key.
Your center, centering, that we would do that when we're sparring or when we're performing what they call katas, which are, you know.
Yeah. Exercise. What type of karate did you do?
Shotokan.
Okay. I did Kyokushinkai for a few years as a teenager. So yeah. It still gives me the confidence of when I walk somewhere, like, okay, if you come near me, I just know what to do. But I haven't practiced in like 20 years or so. But still, in my teen years, I did it for, I was like the third Q. Is it, did you also call it Qs at Shotokan?
Belts.
Oh, yeah, we had belts. So I had the semi-brown belt. So, and then it was, so I was like two steps away from the black belt. But those were huge steps. Like, those final steps were not easy.
Definitely. Now, I guess the good news to people is that when, in order to get comfortable on camera, you don't need to be a black belt in karate.
Exactly.
You need to center yourself. But what else is different about the camera? Why is it so, you know, you mentioned the permanence, you know, it's permanently recording me. But other than that, what else is it about the camera that seems to shake people up so much?
Yeah, I think a big element too is that people who are used to speaking and presenting find it super hard to be alone in the room with a thing, right? So they're just here, there's the camera, and they have to perform as if they have an audience, but they're so used to looking at people, seeing them nodding, seeing like, oh, I wasn't quite clear, I should elaborate on this more. They're used to reading the audience and using that with their messaging. But here, it's just a thing that you're speaking to. And I always tell people, well, first make eye contact. So look through the lens of the camera. So whatever device you use, and it could be as simple as your phone. You don't need to get out and go buy expensive cameras and equipment and what have you. You could just grab your phone and use that. It's very good already. And find the lens, wherever that is. It's a little bit different in per type of device. And then look through that lens as if there is another person on the other side, as if you're sitting across the table from one another. So your energy doesn't stop at the lens, but it reaches sort of through the lens. And there you picture someone, it could be your favorite client or your best friend, and you picture them sitting there and nodding and active listening, or maybe even like have this question mark in their eyes and say, oh, let me elaborate on this. So you have your conversational presenting style or speaking style. And when you're live, that's a little bit different because there might be people there, or there are people there. But when you're recording, there's just a time delay before you record it and they watch it. But you're not speaking to a thing, you're speaking to actual people. And bringing in that element has made a big difference for many people, because they felt like, okay, I'm just here in the room, here's my camera, and now what? You know? And I always picture people, so when someone is watching this on video, I'm really imagining you, yeah, you, watching this right now. And because you are, but just at a later point than when we were recording this. But I am still picturing the person who is watching this who might feel uncomfortable on camera or struggling with public speaking or bringing up their intended message and bringing that forth. So that is a big element that can help.
Now, as you're now someone who's experienced and comfortable talking, public speaking and talking to the camera, are there ever times when you're talking to the camera and you still experience some anxiety? Does that still happen once in a while?
Not really anxiety. When there's a situation that is unusual, I tap into this exercise, and I have more, like, there are about 50 exercises that I can tap into, and I use like a few. So when I feel I get into self-consciousness, that's probably more it, or overthinking. Sometimes, you know, there can be something that's triggering and I'm like, oh, what if this or this is happening? And well, for in my book, I've interviewed people, and one of them is a Hollywood actor that I've seen on the screen in movies, in series. And he's really approachable and he does a lot of video. So I felt like I already knew him. But I sort of really wanted that one to go very well. Of course, I wanted all my interviews to go well, but some of the people I knew a little bit better. So I wasn't anxious. I was looking forward to it, but I did some extra breathing exercises and took some longer time for me to go back into my center, back into this key point, just to be my best self and not get into self-consciousness or overthinking or what would he do. And I'm usually quite okay here as well. Sometimes I've met some famous people, well, local Dutch small famous people, but you know, I just talk to them and they usually like that very much, that you're not like, oh. Or but I spoke to a friend of mine and she said, oh, you know, it's so good that you could do this interview. I would just choke up and not know what to say. And that is, yeah. So those were sort of like a little bit more unusual maybe than other times. So I take some extra time to prepare and really center myself. And I can do, of course, this during. So when I am in a situation, or we are talking here right now, and I think, oh, I'm forgetting, or I would, for example, you say your intended message and you have it nicely in the image here as well. But let's say you don't have it and I say it a little bit wrong. I say like, it's your proposed message or what have you. But at a point like that, I don't get anxious, but I do get self-conscious. I get up here in my head. I'm like, that's not the name. What's the name? I totally forgot. Did I say it? You know? And then I'm like, okay, go back. And people who are watching, they won't see a lot. They might see what you sometimes see is that you feel a little bit more open. So it's only if they see a change, it's a positive one. But they don't see me. Oh, it's actually a funny story. When I just started out doing this, I went networking. And I would close my eyes because I could concentrate better to go to this point, this key point, this higher point. And I was networking and I felt like, oh my God, I'm too much in my head. So I closed my eyes for like two, and I was like, oh, I'm going really crazy. Okay, I'm down there. And he said, are you okay? And I was like, oh, I'm doing this really. Nobody's noticing this. But it was, you know, my eyes were closed just a little bit too long. It was maybe 2 or 3 seconds. So that was at the very beginning, so like 8 years ago. And I was like, okay, first thing I need to do is eyes open. How can I drop back into this point and keep the conversation going? So that was sort of a funny moment where I felt like, so basically anything could be a trigger or like something from my youth or what. Everybody has their things that sort of brings them into overthinking mode, right? So if I know beforehand it will happen, I do extra work of the exercises. And if I notice it during something, I always take my time to put my feet flat on the ground and go back to that point, if that makes sort of sense. I hope that answers your question, George, if that's...
It does. And let's tell people about your book, Get Comfortable on Camera. Who's this book? Who will get the most from this book?
Well, I've written it with camera shy business owners in mind. because I used to be one. But I know also people who are employed and have to be on camera for their, for, you know, to present the company, to represent the company. It's also very useful. But the main focus is probably business owners, because they are the name and face of their business. You know, people who are looking for an accountant, who are looking for a virtual assistant, who are looking for a plumber, doesn't matter what you, your service is, when they really book with you and they want, you want to build that know, like, trust with your audience. And you can do that so much more with video than just through written words, because you, yeah, you said written language is different from spoken language anytime. And you could outsource the written language to someone who has a way with words, who speaks with you, like, what is your intended message? Let me write that up for you. And then they're like these word artists, and your message comes across good, but it could be different from who you are. Or maybe you write it yourself, but you sound different in writing than in speaking. So when you are a business owner, you really need to get out there a lot. First of all, to attract the right people to you who want to work with you. And there will be people who won't like you, who won't like your facial expression, your voice, your accent, the way you speak, the way you move. Just, you know, there's no click. It's nothing wrong with them, nothing wrong with you. You are just not for one another. And it saves you both such a lot of time when they find out by watching a few, maybe just the first video or a few videos, and then they're like, nah, they're not for me. I'm going to look for another accountant. But, you know, I there was this accountant, and she's fabulous, and she drives motorbikes, and she does it like a little video from a motorbike. And so many people are like, oh my God, you're amazing. And like, it really gives your personality more, you know, something extra. And with doing videos, have a video on your website, post regular videos on social media, you will attract the right clients to you, and you can inspire your audience with your tips. Because that's my big vision with for the book, that over 10,000 people get this book and especially implement what's in there, so they can get more visible and bring their gifts to the world. So creating this ripple effect of positive change. And that is what I really want. That is my intended message, if you will, for people to get visible and stop hiding. And I know it can be scary, but the book gives you everything you need, basically. It helps you with your strategy, with content ideas, do's and don'ts, like live videos. There's interviews with 9 different people with different angles. Most of them overcame their scare of video, because almost everybody around the globe, like you said, it's not just in Canada or North America, it's around the globe, Australia, New Zealand, India, Europe, everywhere are a lot of people who feel not so confident going on camera, or think it's a big hassle, or they don't know what to say, they don't know about the content. And yeah, it's all in the book. So, and yeah, I get really, it's been really well received so far. I get really good reviews on it. People say like the structure is, you know, it reads easily. I've done a lot of stories, so it's a light read. You can read it in an afternoon.
And the place for people to find that book, the website for the book is getcomfortableoncamerabook.com.
Yeah. That is it. And it is on Amazon. So if you type it in Amazon, you will find a Kindle and a paperback version for it. And no matter what your element you're looking for, it helps with that.
That website again, getcomfortableoncamerabook.com. And you'll find the link in the description below as well. My guest today is Elsevina Rietveld, reminding you, when you want to get comfortable on camera, to trust your gut and tap into your key.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.